Today from Romans chapter 5. The first 11 verses. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Our hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Faye.
Do you ever look at the news and you feel worried for our world? Do you get anxious when you think about the current fuel crisis? Do you feel very sad when you see the stories of people suffering from hunger, from war, and from terror? Sometimes I even start to feel depressed when I'm praying for my persecuted Christian brothers and sisters, when I read about country after country where Christians are suffering for their faith. Do you sometimes feel as though there's no hope for the future? Well, perhaps we all do, at times. But in Romans 5, Paul tells us some things that we can rejoice and we can even boast about. Things that contain hope and even joy for the future. Some things that in troubled times, and those early Christians had them too, some things that we can redirect our minds to think about when we're tempted to despair. In verse 2 of this passage, Paul tells us to rejoice and even to boast about our hope of sharing God's glory. Christians do have hope for the future. It's the hope, the expectation, the absolute certainty of sharing God's glory. Already God's glory is being revealed while we're here on earth. We can see it in creation. We can see it in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see it in the lives of people who follow God. All of us who are looking to Jesus are reflecting his glory. We're being changed by that glory. But one day the glory of God will be fully opened up to us. And we're told that we too will be like him because we will see him as he really is. How can we know this hope, that we have this hope of glory? And of course that's in verse 1, isn't it? The verse that we've just finished reading. Because through faith in Jesus Christ, we are put right with God. We are justified through our faith. I have no problems with rejoicing or bragging about that. That's exciting. That's thrilling. That's what I'm expecting. I can rejoice or boast about what Jesus has done for me so that one day I can live in his presence with all my sins forgiven and forgotten. That's worth a hallelujah, don't you think?
Hallelujah.
Thank you. But the next thing that Paul comes to in this passage is so much more difficult to rejoice or even to boast about. Paul tells us in verse 3 that we are to rejoice or boast in our troubles or our sufferings. And my immediate reaction to that is, now come on, be real. That's not logical or realistic or even emotionally healthy. It even seems a bit masochistic. I even said that word without tangling up. But in the New Testament, suffering was regarded as normal for the Christian. And the word used here for troubles is not so much the ordinary trials and troubles of life, but the persecution and trouble that comes to Christians because they are Christians. It could be the hostility of the world. It could be the poverty that might come out of discipleship, and it does for many in the world. It could be the loneliness or the unpopularity. Jesus, when he was on earth, warned us that we would have trouble. And Paul now tells the Christians they can rejoice when this expected trouble turns up. Why? Not because they're taking some kind of sick pleasure in pain, but because some good things are going to come out of their troubles. Because Paul tells us that trouble produces endurance or perseverance or fortitude. The word doesn't just mean passive endurance. Well, I'll put up with this if I have to. You heard that sort of, have that same sort of feeling sometimes. Well, yep, that's life. But this word suggests a spirit of victory and the will to overcome. When Beethoven, the great musical composer, was told that he was going to be deaf, instead of feeling sorry for himself, he said, "I'll take life by the throat." He had an attitude that refused to bow to despair, and he continued to compose even though he couldn't even hear the compositions that he was writing. And we know that they were great because we can hear them. Someone once said to a person who was going through sorrow, "Sorrow colours life, doesn't it?" And that person answered, "Yes, and I propose to choose the colour." Remember the early apostles and their attitude to suffering. In the book of Acts, we can see the apostles and other Christians being thrown into jail, whipped, beaten, stoned for preaching about the resurrection. How did they respond? They prayed for courage to keep doing it. And they rejoiced that God considered them worthy to suffer disgrace for the sake of Jesus. And they kept on serving God. Perhaps one of the reasons why we don't see some of the amazing miracles and conversions happening like we read about in the book of Acts is that we're not willing to go through the pain like they did. We back off when things get tough. Paul says that endurance or perseverance produces character. And the word Paul uses here that's translated character is used of metal that has passed through the fire so that all the rubbish has been burnt out of it. Out of the fire of trouble, people emerge stronger, better, purer, and approved by God. Most of us want to be all those things, strong, good, pure, but we want it to happen easily. We're like the couch potato who dreams of having a tough, fit body, but wants to get it while watching the footy on TV. John Stott says that suffering is the only path to glory. It was so for Christ, and it is so for Christians. And that is a reason to rejoice. Our sufferings then lead us on to hope. And as we become more aware of the blessing of being at peace with God, even when life here on earth is difficult, our focus comes off earthly blessings and moves on to hope in our blessed relationship with God through Jesus. We rejoice in our hope of glory, and we rejoice that as we go through hard times for the sake of Jesus, we're sharing in his glory, walking the path of suffering with him. If we respond to our sufferings with anger and bitterness and self-pity, we will be diminished as people. If we respond positively, we will grow and mature. The character which has endured the test always emerges in hope. We're told that there were more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in all the previous 19 combined. Each year, about 160,000 people are martyred for their faith, and over 1 million people are even currently in prison for their faith. These people need our prayers that they will be enabled to endure, to grow, even to rejoice and to hope in God. There are many things that people hope for in this world that turn out to be an illusion. When we put our hope in money, we never have enough. When we put our hope in position or power, we'll eventually lose that position and power. When we put our hope in being fit and healthy, we can lose it any time. When we put our hope in our own strength, you know, the I did it my way syndrome, we will always be disappointed in ourselves. Relationships sometimes fail. But Paul says that the hope that comes from God will never disappoint us. It's not an illusion that will fade with time. Why? Verse 5 tells us, and we've heard it already this morning on that little video, God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. The Holy Spirit is given by God to all who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. If you're a Christian, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to you is to pour out God's love into your heart. It's the image of a cloudburst pouring out onto a dry, barren, thirsty land. Sometimes my garden looks tired, dusty, dry and thirsty. But when the rain comes, it changes. Fresh new leaves grow. Plants stand up straighter. The leaves glisten. The flowers bloom. That's a picture of how it is when God pours out his love into our dry, cold hearts. Sometimes when I lived in Papua New Guinea in a house on my own that was 40 minutes by air from the nearest town, 10 minutes on foot from the nearest village, when the only sounds I could hear were from the jungle insects, birds and frogs, when all my family were in a different country, then I would feel isolated. But then the Holy Spirit would do his work and continuously pour out the love of God into my heart, and I'd be overwhelmed with the knowledge of being loved. God's love was there for me, continuously and always. And of course it still is. And it's there for you. You can feel just as isolated here in Australia as I did out in the bush by myself. People all around you, but no one specifically there for you. And God wants to pour his love into your heart through the gift of his Spirit. You are loved by God, who is love. What could be better? And what I'm describing might just seem like a warm, fuzzy feeling. And God's love for me does give me warm, fuzzy feelings. But God's love is also an objective fact. How do I know God loves me? Not just because of the warm, fuzzy feelings that can come and go, but because of the objective fact that Christ died for me. Romans 8, 5, verse 8. But God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. God's love has done something for us. God has given his Son to die for us. And in giving his Son, he has given himself. There's a story about Lawrence of Arabia. He was journeying across the desert with some Arabs. Things were desperate. Water was almost finished. The wind was full of sand and their faces were stinging as it slapped into them. Suddenly someone said, "Where's Jasmine?" They noticed that his camel was riderless. People thought of many things that could have happened to him. He might have been shot by someone in revenge for a murder that he had committed. He might have gone crazy in the heat and wandered off. He might have fainted in the heat and fallen off the camel. And then they said, "What does it matter? He's not worth 10-20 cents. He's a murderer and an evil man." And they rode on. But Lawrence turned around and rode back the way he had come. Alone in the blazing heat, at the risk of his life, he went back. And after an hour and a half, he saw Jasmine on the sand, blind from the sun, mad with heat and thirst. He put him on his camel, gave him the last drops of his precious water, and plodded back to the others. And the Arabs were amazed. "Here is Jasmine," they said, "the man not worth 20 cents, saved at the risk of his own life by Lawrence, our leader." And that's a parable, isn't it? Jesus didn't die to save good people. We were sinners, says that in verse 8. We were helpless to save ourselves, in verse 6. We were wicked, and we were God's enemies, that's in verse 10. And I'm one of those helpless sinners, and that's how I know that God loves me, because Christ died to save me. And that brings us to another of Paul's reasons to rejoice. He tells us that we can rejoice and boast because of what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now made us God's friends. We're reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. As humans, we can be generous to those we love and respect. We find it hard to give to people who we see as unworthy or who will not appreciate the gift that we give. Sometimes we even find it hard to pray for them. John Stott said, "The unique majesty of God's love lies in the combination of three factors, namely that when Christ died, God, A, was giving himself, B, even to the horrors of a sin-bearing death on the cross, and C, doing so for his undeserving enemies." So let's not doubt that God loves us, even though we may be perplexed by the tragedies of life. Paul is saying to us in this passage that during the times of trouble and struggle, we can be sure of the reality of God's love for us because of his love in our hearts, because of Christ's death on the cross. Our hope is a past, present, and future thing. Our salvation is a past, present, and future thing. We have been saved through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have been put right with God, that word justified. We are saved from God's anger. On the final day of judgment, we will be spared from God's wrath because of Christ's death for us. And we will be saved by Christ's life. That's in verse 10. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too experience the power of his resurrection. We share his life now, and we will share in his resurrection on the last day. Isn't that exciting? The best is yet to be. We're now enjoying the benefits of salvation, but we will enjoy even more the life that he's prepared for us in heaven. No more sin, sorrow, and tears. Eternal joy with our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My friends, if you're not nearly jumping for joy, I can't see anybody actually doing that, why not? And if you're not rejoicing in your salvation, past, present, and future, why not? If you don't have the love of God poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, why not? If you're not rejoicing in the fact that you know God, why not? I can only think of two possible reasons. One, that you never accepted Jesus as your personal saviour. You have never handed your life over to God, and you don't know for sure that you're sharing in his life. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Is that true for you? If it isn't, then you can't rejoice in the life and death of Christ, because as yet you're not set right with God. You're not living with the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have God's love poured out into your heart. So if you need to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, all that's needed is a simple, heartfelt prayer. Lord Jesus, I turn away from the things I've done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. I invite you into my life. I pray that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit, who'll give me the power to live my life for you forever. Thank you. Amen. And that can be the start of a whole new life with Christ. You will be justified, made into God's friend, just as if you'd never sinned. There's another reason why you might not be rejoicing today in the blessings of God. You may have once accepted Christ as your Saviour, and now you've allowed the cares of the world or the short-term pleasures of sin to turn your eyes away from him. And if that's your problem, then you need to repent of this sin, and you need to hand your cares and your worries over to God. Give him the priority in your life once again. Or maybe there's someone in your life that you need to forgive, and that's hindering your relationship with God. If you don't know why you're not rejoicing in God today, take a few quiet moments at some point and sit down and wait on God and let his still, quiet voice speak to you about this, because God wants you to be experiencing the joy of your salvation. Now's a good time to make a fresh start with God. And if you know that you need to do that, then feel free, if you wish, to come down at the front at the end of the song here. I'll be waiting here to pray with anybody who would like to pray about anything at all. And now we're going to sing a song that reminds us of the wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us, because he lives forever.